Welcome to the Friar Phil Show. Welcome to the real world, indeed. Our real world is going to be starting tonight a four-game series with the Dodgers, which is going to be interesting. I do have a Dodger fan on the telephone. We'll talk to him in just a moment. But first things first, I just looked at the lineup, and it looks like Manny Machado is back in the lineup. He's going to bat, let's see, he's batting second, and he's going to be the DH tonight. Now, that was Mr. Mister, by the way, and the song was Welcome to the Real World. And I'm playing Mr. Mister because I've got Mr. Mark on the phone. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, no problem. So, you're a Dodgers fan.
Absolutely. Yeah. Born and raised in Southern California. Earliest memories as a kid going to Dodger games with my dad and my family. Been there for some big memorable moments. Had some great times. And went through the highs and lows of Dodger baseball, you know, going to sleep at night listening to Vin Scully on the radio. So, you know, you get all the benefits of living out here in Southern California. And then I was fortunate enough to go work for the team in 2013, part of their fan services staff. And it was tremendous. I had a great time. It was like a childhood dream of being there. And got to meet a lot of people, you know, even Dodgers and, other players and announcers and, you know, Hall of Fame baseball players. And it was tremendous. I had a great time.
Nice. I grew up with the New York Mets. I won't tell the story again because it bores the listeners. I grew up with the Mets, and I know disappointment, so... The Padres was kind of a good fit for me when I moved here to San Diego in 1999. That's Nikki, by the way, in the background. She's putting in her two cents. Nikki, are you happy that Manny Machado is back in the lineup? Come on, tell me. Don't be afraid. Now she clams up. You wouldn't know it. You would know.
That's where I feel. I got my two cats circling me like sharks right now as well. So
feed me.
Yeah,
you've got food in your dish, dear. Relax yourself. She's 13 years old, going on 14, so she's kind of stuck in her ways. All right, back to baseball and the Dodgers and the Padres. A lot of people say there's like a Padre and Dodger rivalry. I don't really think that. I think the bigger rivalry for the Dodgers is the Giants. Wouldn't you think so?
I agree with that. I know that went all the way back from New York, coming forward to California. I had heard a story, don't know how true this is, but they did share this with us when I worked there in 2013, is that when both teams were moving out here in the late 50s, because they were both leaving New York, Walter O'Malley had already scouted out the land. He'd already figured out where he wanted the stadium. You know, he saw it from a helicopter. And then the Giants decided that, yeah, we'll go too. You know, we'll come on out there with you. But we want to go to Los Angeles as well. and the commissioner of baseball at the time said, well, guys, no, sorry. I can't have two teams in Los Angeles. I need somebody to go to San Francisco. And so, of course, Walter O'Malley was like, well, hey, I've already got the land. I'm already moving things. We're, you know, we're pretty much there. We're almost moved in. And the Giants said, well, we don't care. We want to go to San Francisco. You know, we want to go to L.A. And so the commissioner of baseball, I guess, supposedly flipped a coin. And it landed in the Dodgers' favor, so we got to stay in L.A., and they moved to San Francisco, and history was made, I guess, from there. I don't know how true that is. I don't know if that's just a, you know, one of those juicy rumors that's out there in the baseball world. But
I think it's true. I've heard something close to that.
Yeah, it's a great story to tell. I know when we used to give tours at Dodger Stadium, it was a great little story to kind of end the tour on. So
you guys just got beat up a little bit by the Colorado Rockies.
Yeah,
and I'm not going to laugh about it because they did it to us too.
Is an absolute house of horrors for you guys. It is a house of horrors for us. It's a house of horrors pretty much for any team that goes there and with your pitching staff. But it's extremely hard. I don't thank Major League Baseball for giving us the late Sunday night game in Atlanta and then to go to Colorado the very next day. That doesn't...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I don't know what they were doing there, but, you know, it is what it is.
So, Colorado's in last place still. And
there, yeah,
you know, the way the Padres won against them finally is by doing some of the little things, you know, small ball and not trying to hit home runs all the time. Do you find that is a problem with some of the Dodgers players?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think a lot of times the Dodgers are you get these players and with the names on the back of their jerseys, and they feel like they got to do too much. And when you have certain injuries like we have right now with Mookie being out, and you got some pitching issues like we have right now, some guys feel like they got to take the load and do too much. And then, of course, going to Colorado, you think, well, all I got to do is hit the ball in the air.
Yeah.
And as soon as it gets up in the air, it's gone.
Not with these dead balls they're giving us.
These dead balls. No, I think it's like they put range balls out there. Mm. Out there so. but we kind of turned it around yesterday. But I also look at it as we turned it around on a guy that was throwing with a bad blister on his hand, so yeah. You know, take from it what you will on that. So
yeah, they did come back a little bit. Well, they scored.
They did.
Four runs,
yeah, Colorado started scoring some runs. Julio Urias has not been 2021 Julio Urias so far. He's had a rough go of it.
Yeah, what's his problem?
You know, it's a couple of different things. I think he's leaving the ball up. He's missing spots. He's definitely not getting run support because even when he does throw a great game and gives up maybe one run, the Dodgers aren't scoring. So he's had a rough go of it. He has, I guess what you'd say is Dodger fans, we call it, you've been Kershawed. So.
Kershawed, yeah.
So, you know, Kershaw suffered through that for many, many years where he'd pitch a gem and yet he'd get let down by his offense. So,
yeah, that's a shame because I enjoyed watching Julio pitch in 2021. And last night, what, he went five innings if that?
Yeah, five and a third, and it wasn't the cleanest five and a third ever. I mean, it was pretty clunky. And they kind of, it was one of those things that were right when Colorado would get one or two, then all of a sudden we got one back to kind of just keep pushing the lead back to where it was. And I think Colorado ran out of innings basically. So
we have terrific pitching, starting pitching. And with the exception of Snell is kind of having operating difficulties when he pitches, but the rest of the guys are really doing good and they're really giving our bullpen a break, and they've done good too, with the exception of this first game we had with Arizona where the bullpen came in and blew a six-run lead.
Yeah, I saw that.
Losing it 7-6.
6-0 lead turn into a 6-6 tie, turn into an Arizona walk-off, and it's like, oof, okay.
Which turned into Friar Phil exploding here at home and having to make a video to vent out a little bit about how goddamn stupid it was putting in Garcia, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and people will say, you know, it's weird, Phil, and I agree with you, is that the reason why, as fans, we get upset over situations like that, it's not so much you're blowing this game. It's our forethought is we're thinking about October, and I need you to get this right now because I do not want to see this in October. I do not want to watch you blow a 6-run lead in October when it means more. Mm-hmm. And you better get it together now, buddy.
Like, really? Seriously?
Yeah.
Don't put him on a damn panic. Trading block. Do something. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Don't give me that panic in October. Like, okay, I'll digest it now. I don't like it, but I'll digest it now. But don't do that to me in October when it means more. You know, and in our case with the Dodgers, like, can I trust Bruce Dargrotterall to go in there and hold the lead and get us to the finish line? You know, you know, can I trust you to do that?
Yeah. So a lot of nail-biting goes on with Padres fans. Sounds like Dodger fans are having some nail-biting moments too, huh?
Well, if you'd asked every baseball writer, announcer, pundit out there, we should be just steamboating everybody. You know, we should be running by everybody 15-0 every game, but that's not how baseball works. And I'm okay with it. You know, if we're going to struggle and we're going to have these up and down games, I'd rather it be now, because I've seen the other side of it where we do, you know, just tear up the league and we win the West by double digits or whatever. And then we get into the playoffs and you get dropped in the first round. And then it's like, okay, well, that was a waste of a season. So, you know, if we're going to struggle, let's struggle now. And, you know, and I love the fact that the Padres are right there, because I think the Padres and the Dodgers are going to push each other all the way through to the finish line.
Oh, it's going to be a great series, you know, win or lose over the next 4 days. Apologies to the listeners for me getting this up a day late. We just had a scheduling conflict yesterday, so we're getting it in today. So you may be listening to this after the first game and the Padres win and beat the Dodgers. Maybe.
Well, the interesting thing is this could be either the Dodgers stretch this out or the Padres catch the Dodgers. Or pretty much we stay exactly right where we're at as of today, as of Friday, June the 30th. So, I mean, it could be, you have three different scenarios that could play out this weekend.
And Padres right now are a game and a half behind the Dodgers.
Right.
What else can you tell me about the Dodgers right now?
You know, right now, the huge, I guess you want to say black cloud that is hanging over our head is the Freddie Freeman situation. You know, does he really want to be in Los Angeles? Did he really even want to be in Los Angeles? Or, you know, did he get duped by this supposed agent that didn't tell him about the Braves? That was a Doug Gottlieb article, I guess, that came out and right. Said that his agent had given him the final offer and what have you, and now the agent has said no, that's not true, and he's going to seek out his own litigations on Doug Gottlieb. So I can say this, for a guy that looked like he didn't want to be in Los Angeles, he smoked a home run to dead center on the first pitch last night and was running around the bases pretty happy and showing off those big white veneers, so I think he was pretty happy last night.
Oh yeah, but you hit the ball, you get a home run, you're happy. It doesn't matter what team you're playing for.
Yeah,
but I think ultimately you saw with his reaction when y'all were down playing Atlanta to being back to Atlanta you know, he had 19 years there, so.
Exactly.
You can't blame the guy, I don't think, for being melancholy a little bit.
No, not at all. And I know Freddie Freeman is an absolute professional. You know, he is a professional ball player. He is what you would, you know, if you were starting a franchise, if you were looking at guys that be like, okay, who can I trust to be professional ball players and keep their head straight and do the right thing? He's on that list, you know, and the list is not very long. But to have that much time spent in Atlanta, you lived there, you grew up there, you had your children there, you married your wife there, and the whole nine yards, and the fact that you just won a World Series with this team, and you didn't even get the chance to celebrate it on the field with them, you know, on opening day, that, yeah, that's going to be emotional, you know, that's going to hurt. And you know, I don't blame him for his emotions whatsoever, And I posed this question to my fellow Dodger fans on Twitter. If Kershaw would have not stayed with us this year and he would have taken off and gone to Texas, and let's say we had to play the Texas Rangers and he came back to town, how would he feel? You know, I bet there'd be Dodger waterworks all over the place.
Just like in Atlanta.
Yeah. So I think about this, you know, Phil, if Tony Gwynn happened to just decide, yeah, you know what, I'm going to test the free agent market. I want to see what's out there for me. And he went, I mean, there would be some teary eyed fans. It'd be teary eyed Tony Gwynn, everything.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. So. Well, the Dodgers seem to be excited over this series we're having. I'm on ElysianParkStadium.com, and they wrote, well, I don't know what the first sentence means. It says, the fixture, which is predicted to be one of jaw-dropping game of 2022, period. So somebody didn't know what the hell they were writing there. But it says, that's right, you found it here first. The Dodgers Stadium is going to be hosting the smashing Los Angeles Dodgers versus San Diego Padres match on Thursday, the 30th, June 2022. All of Los Angeles is excited for this scheduled clash of athletes. Two of the nation's greatest teams will go head-to-head this June for an intense match on Thursday evening. The crowd is ready. California is ready. Are you? If you don't have a season pass but you're a Los Angeles Dodgers fan, make sure you get your tickets now. So I was amused by this because...
A lot of Hollywood flair on that.
Somebody from that's a Dodger fan or a Dodger person is calling the Padres one of the greatest teams in baseball right now, and I'm not used to that. I'm used to look, we've made it up to third place this year. we're not in fifth place.
Yeah.
I'm not used to seeing greatest Padres, teams, but we.
I would say right now the Padres are probably the biggest concern in the National League that the Dodgers have, and I'm saying that with even the other division leaders. They don't. I'm not, as a Dodger fan, we're not really afraid of what's going on in the Central. We're not afraid of what's going on in the East. It is the Padres, and it's been the Padres for the last couple of years. I was shocked, as I'm sure you were last year at the end of 2021, and if I'd have said to you, you know, two teams are going to win over 105 games in the National League West, we would have probably looked at each other and said, yeah, it's going to be you and us. Well, nobody knew the Giants were going to be what the Giants were. I mean, you want to talk about a magician trick. I mean, that was like smoke and mirrors there. So, you know, the Padres to me have been, you know, when I talk about it with my friends and family we're all Dodger fans, you know, you got to watch out for the Padres because they get it up.
Yeah.
They get up for this series. So
I think they're motivated. I know the Padres are.
And then, you know what, Major League Baseball is not dumb to that either, because if you look at the schedules of when we're going to play, all but one series, which is the last time that we play each other down in San Diego, is over a weekend. So we're playing each other like all the time over the weekend.
In a great spot.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this, honestly, this divisional race could come down to the last six games of the season.
It could.
You know, last six games of the season, we finish with six in a row with those wonderful Colorado Rockies. But fortunately, they have to come to L.A., so it's not in Denver. And you guys get the combination of playing the Giants, and you get the Chicago White Sox, who maybe they will have figured it out by then.
Maybe.
Yeah. But, you know, so it you know, the
yeah, we've got you guys in September, the first weekend of September, and then
yeah,
a few weeks down, we've got you three games during the midweek.
Yeah, that's the only one that doesn't go over a weekend. And then pretty much after that, I mean, it's, you know, we got one opponent then for the next 6 days. I was looking at both of our schedules, the Padres end of year schedule and the Dodgers end of year schedule. Pretty much from September 2nd till October 5th, which is the end of the season this year, the furthest we have to go is Arizona. So for your body clock, that helps a lot. And I know the furthest that the Padres have to go, I was looking at it, you guys go to Kansas City for like a late end of the year road trip. And then after that, yeah, you're pretty much local too. So
yes, Seattle, Arizona, Colorado again.
Yeah.
And we have San Francisco as well. And of course, LA Dodgers. Oh yeah, I see the Kansas City as well. So it should be interesting, I think, like you said, that it's going to come down to the last bunch of games, I think. I think we'll stay close. That's right. Assuming now that the Padres don't have some kind of meltdown like they did last year after the All-Star break. I don't know what the fuck happened to them. But well, we've all theorized, and a lot of it had to do with the manager and the type of managers we were having run the club, you know, because A.J. Preller was friends with this one and that one in Texas, so he hired Tingler. Tingler lost the clubhouse, at least I think so, and a bunch of other people do too, in the second half of the year, and the guys just didn't play like they did in the first half, which, you know, is fine and dandy if you don't like your manager and you don't want to play for him and win for him. But, you know, you've got thousands of fans and people in the stands that pay good money to watch you win.
Right.
So, you know.
Yeah.
I was pissed off a little bit at them for doing
that. The Padres were built for more of a we're going to win now kind of mode. You know, we have to do this now within the next few years here while you have the nucleus of your team together, when you have the nucleus of Manny and Fernando Tatis and Hosmer and what have you, you guys have, good pieces, and you got, you know, Nola, your catcher, he's great too. And, but it comes down to, and I think what's been Achilles heel for the Padres, or at least from the outside perspective, from what we see, you know, or at least from what I see, is once we can get, as Dodgers, if we can get your starter out of the game, we like our chances. So
yeah, that's our goal too. We want to get the starter out as fast as possible, especially with teams that have crappy bullpens. You want to get to the bullpen as quickly as possible. And this is why I stress with them. I know, you know, sometimes your first pitch is your best pitch to hit, but I hate first pitch hitting, you know? You got to work the count. You've got to make the opposing pitcher that's starting tired by the time it's the fourth inning and get him out of there. Make them use the bullpen. Now, we've got, I'm not familiar with this guy, M. White. Pitching for you guys.
So that is Mitchell White. He's kind of been our spot starter. So he's basically pitching in the spot of what would normally be Andrew Heaney. Andrew Haney coming from the Yankees this last year. He was with the Angels before that. He actually was a Dodger piece at one time, and then we sent him away years ago on the Howie Kendrick deal when we did that years ago. But he's back with us, Andrew Haney. But it just seems like every time Andrew Haney pitches, he can throw one game, and then he's gone for 3 weeks. So it's almost like he's a crystal chandelier. So, but Mitch White, he's not going to give you. I mean, he's definitely he's not a Walker Buehler. He's not a he's not going to blow you away with anything. Moves the ball around, his thing, and I'll tell you, if he can get out of the first inning unscathed, then he does a whole lot better. It's the first inning. He's got a lot of first inning jitters, and if he can get through that, then he does pretty well.
Padres need to rattle him then.
Yeah, if you're going to get out of him, you got to get out of him early. That's the thing with the with Mitch White. If you can get out of him and you get out of him early, then yeah, you'll have the Dodgers on the ropes basically for the rest of the game after that. And and the other thing that's happening with the Dodgers, I know we talked about the Freddie situation with the cloud, but we've had guys that are absolute shells of themselves right now. Max Muncy is a man who is missing in action. We don't know what happened to Max or where did he go. But
looks like at times he's eating too many donuts.
Well, something is going on to where he's not squaring the ball up on the bat like he used to. I know there was a time there where he was hurting the Padres a lot.
So. Oh yeah.
So if there's a series I wish he'd break out in, I'm sorry to say, Phil, I'm hoping it's this one.
Well, you might have better luck on Friday night. Snell is pitching, and we'll see how he does. He's got a 5.60 ERA, and he's going in Gonsolin with 1.58 ERA. So,
yeah. Well, if Snell's pitching, that means that you can put Austin Barnes in the lineup. He's going to be there.
Right. Gonsolin has been having a great season so far, though, huh?
Gonsolin's been doing tremendous. He has far exceeded the expectations that we had had for him. I think he's now pitching with more conviction. He's moving the ball around, changing speeds. Was getting a little curveball happy there for a while, and guys were teeing off on it, but he's now got some more velocity on his fastball. And he's controlling the game a whole lot better. He's not allowing, like, okay, if I allow a walk or allow a hit, then that's, it's not the end of the world. He doesn't allow it to just snowball out of, down the hill. And, and I think that a lot of that is major league maturity, too. So
Yes. And then on Saturday, odd starting time for the West Coast, 4:15 p.m., I don't know if that's a normal time for a Dodger
game. Well, that is probably because it's going to be the Fox game. I'm sure it's on Fox TV.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But we got Yu Darvish pitching, and he's been doing good. Yeah, one bad outing, but he's been doing pretty good. And there's somebody here, T. Anderson.
That is Tyler Anderson, and we picked him up at the beginning of the season. Tyler was a former Mariner and former Pirate, former Rocky. Had a great year. He was undefeated up until this recent last pitching performance. The sad thing for Tyler is that he got the Monday game after the long night in Atlanta, so he got no help with his offense. They were basically sleepwalking. So he gave up some hits. It was more, it wasn't a bludgeoning by Colorado on that Monday game. It was more of like just small stabs. So we bled out basically.
Right.
So, but Tyler's been doing great. He's the one that almost took the no hitter with the Angels until the last inning with Ohtani. And then they went back later and said, oh no, we changed the scoring decision. You know, that other that was actually a hit, not an error.
Right.
Even though he spiked it into the ground.
Right. That's not an error. No.
That's not. The scoring nowadays has gotten me confused.
The one I want to see in particular is the Sunday game with Mackenzie Gore, our young kid, somewhat of a phenom, going against Kershaw. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how Kershaw is going to match up against this young kid that's doing fairly good. He's got a 4-3 record. He's got a 3.34 ERA. And he only had, was it one or two bad outings?
I've caught a couple of Mackenzie Gore's games, and he seems like he's in that that same boat that we were talking about with the Dodgers' Mitch White. If you can get him through the first couple innings unscathed, you know, he can kind of get into the pace of the game. He seems like he can just roll along. And I know the last time the Dodgers faced him, I think they had a really hard time with him. And, you know, I expect Kershaw to pitch better because he's not happy with what happened in Denver. So I think he'll
didn't look happy.
Yeah, he'll bring his A game, I'm sure, on Sunday. You know, a lot of it, the hype of this series will just it'll grow with each game, depending on who's winning and losing. Of course, the first three, you know, so the fourth one could absolutely be, you know, it's either we're trying to salvage or we're trying to split, or, you know, so
one of
or we're trying times. Or we're trying to put the early hammer down on the Padres. But I don't think that's going to happen. If I were a betting guy, which it seems like now that's all everything is now, we're, you know, putting wagers on this and that, I expect a split, honestly, out of these four.
Yeah. I think that's the best we can hope for, and just hope that we get surprised with something else. Like I said earlier, our bullpen is, with the exception of like two people, pretty solid. We've got a couple of people that's on the injury list that'll be coming back, but it's a pretty solid bullpen. How's the bullpen for the Dodgers?
We are pretty good. We have some pieces right now in the bullpen that are being used a little bit more because of our starting pitching injuries, losing Walker Buehler, losing Andrew Heaney, and even having to take Kershaw out for a few turns earlier this year. The bullpen's been used a little bit more. We've got some guys that have stepped up into some big roles. We got Alex Vesia, which I know he's a San Diego native, which, you know, he's always loves pitching against the Padres, and he does great. We got the young kid, Phil Bickford, the kid that looks like he belongs from Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and we got this other guy, Morota, who came in last night and pitched in the rain to kind of finish the game off for us, and it makes me happy seeing another large human out there pitching, playing baseball. I always encourage the round people. So
what happened with that kid from a year ago? Was it a year or 2 years ago? But he had this big shock of red hair.
Dustin May. Yes.
Yeah, so Dustin May.
So Dustin May. Yeah. So the last time I believe you guys saw him is when he was pitching against the Padres, and he ended up having to get Tommy John on his elbow. That was about a little more than a year ago, and he has now got back into a throwing regimen. They're looking at him possibly coming back probably August is when he's going to come back. So we're looking at him coming back, Walker Buehler coming back, hopefully Andrew Haney, if he can, you know, wrap himself in bubble wrap and stay healthy, he can come back we'll be getting Mookie back. I believe Dave Roberts said here recently, we should be getting Mookie back here before the break is happening. And, so we're hopefully going to be getting healthy right at the right time. I know now that the Dodgers, the way they look at injuries, you know, the whole front office and Dave Roberts, they look at everything like the goal is postseason. So if we got to go through this right now, let's just remain afloat. You know, let's just stay in the race, and then, you know, then we'll get everybody out there and healthy when we really, really need it. And I think the Padres have kind of, you guys have taken that chapter from our book as well, and I think you're doing that with a lot of your guys now too.
So. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Because we want to stay right where we're at. And surpass that over the weekend.
Yeah. And what's amazing is that you got these two teams, you got the Dodgers, you got the Padres playing as well as they are.
Uh-huh.
And you have been out, you know, you've had no Tatis this year. You've had Manny out now for, what was that, a couple weeks he was gone.
Right.
You've had pitching issues. You've had guys get injured. You've had guys go into horrible slumps. You know, you've had guys that you've been willing to trade for a bag of nails. I mean, you've had all kinds of things going on, and yet here we are. We're both sitting, you know, 1-2 up in the top of the West, and neither one of us have been at full staff. So, you know, so I'm excited to see what's going to happen when everybody does come back. You know,
yeah.
I personally want Tatis back. I can't wait for him to come back, because I just feel like when they play each other, when the Dodgers and the Padres play each other and we're at full staff, then that's when you really get the juices going. And that's when it does start to feel like there is some kind of rivalry going on here.
So. Right. It does. Now, to a lot of Padres fans, you know, when Dodgers fans come to Petco Park, a lot of them, a lot of the times, can be really rude people. You know, the women drink. As a matter of fact, I've seen more bitch fights there than fights between guys. And it's just, you know, that's our kind of opinion collectively of Dodger fans. But I remind everybody that I have Dodger fans that are on my Twitter that are really nice people, you know, like yourself. And I just wonder, how do Dodger fans view Padres fans?
You know, I right now, I think the way that this, and I'm going to say current group of Dodger fans, I'm not going to talk about old school Dodger fans, old, you know, like myself, who've been since I was a little boy, but this current group of Dodger fans, so I want to say within the last 10 years, you know, basically since this Magic Johnson group has taken over the team and we've enjoyed postseason success. We look at the Padres, at first we were looking at you guys as a doormat, unfortunately, because let's be honest, they weren't very good. But now that you've put some pieces in play, you signed Machado, you've got these up-and-coming kids that are coming along, and you're actually very competitive. You're giving the Dodgers a run for their money. I would hope that old-school Dodger fans would be respectful of Padre fans, but I think the young Padre, or the young Dodger fans, excuse me, look at it as like, you're still nothing.
You still suck. We're the Dodgers, you know.
Yeah, we're the
all
Dodgers.
Cocky and shit. You know, you just want to haul up and just smack them in the puss. Say, shut up.
But at the same time, this is where the older Dodger fans are looking at the young ones going, all right, you need to stop. Chill out. You need to stop. It's like,
I've had to say that to a few people on Twitter. Fragerfield's a Dodgers fan.
Yeah.
He's a Dodgers lover. Kiss my ass, you know?
Yeah. And what was absolutely evident was, again, going back to the Freddie thing, once it was out there that, you know, that Freddie was, you know, heartbroken that within the Atlanta situation, you had people that was like, oh, you know, why do we even want this guy? He doesn't want to be here with us and this and that. It's like, whoa. Like, you know, before you start believing everything you're reading on this social media, let's get it right from the horse's mouth and figure out what's actually going on here. Because I would think that Freddie is an ultimate professional, like I said. And if he signed a contract with the Dodgers, He is going to do his absolute best with the Dodgers, and he is here to help the Dodgers try and win a World Series. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, whether it was by his choice or not, he's there, so he has to do what a professional would do.
Absolutely.
Can't blame him for, like I said earlier, for being emotional after spending 19 years with a club. With my partner, I just had my 20-year anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking back, you know, that's a long goddamn time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you take that time period and you put it with Freddie Freeman, being with the Braves for 19 years, and you got to understand why he felt the way he did, and maybe why he was a little bit more melancholy coming back to Dodger Stadium after you guys played Atlanta. Mm-hmm. But now he seems, you know, like you said yesterday, he hit a nice home run. He looked happy about that. So maybe he's coming out of it, and everything will be fine with the young Dodgers fans.
Yeah, we're basically, I mean, we're done with Atlanta now. We had the home and home with them already. So, you know, now it's let's focus on the rest of the season on winning the division first, and then trying to win the National League, and then go represent the National League in the World Series. So I think that's now is the focus. You know, he can close the book on that and say, okay, I won't ever stop loving you, Atlanta, but it's now time for me to go to work.
Right.
And if you think about that, you know, all those years, you talk about 19 years, think about what's happened to the Braves in the last 19 years.
Oh, yeah.
They were awful. They were bad. They were like the bottom of the division. And then they went up and they made the playoffs. And then they, you know, they were supposed to be, you know, the front runners. And then it didn't happen. And then he had to go through all these growing pains of, you know, watching these guys sail off into the sunset, you know, and then he became the guy. He was the man. So, so.
What do you think of the expanded playoffs idea?
I understand why they did it. I think what it does is it takes value away from the regular season, because you can have case in point, kind of like a last year where, you know, you have two teams in the National League West, and because we were the wild card, we had to play San Francisco first, and so now you knock one of those teams out, and after that, you know, we ran into a hot Atlanta team, and they buzzsawed right through us because we basically exhausted ourselves with the Giants, and I don't know. I think it just kind of devalues a little bit of the regular season. If you're going to expand the playoffs, then why do we need to play 162 games? I mean, it's right. So,
well, why even bother trying to win your division or anything if somebody right. that's in third place wins games all of a sudden and takes your place where you should be? You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's bullshit. Right. It's a grab for more money, television revenue, yeah. radio revenue. That's all it's about. It's not about making baseball more exciting for people. It's about money.
Yeah, it's more money. It's more of a way that these teams that would be done at the end of the year and out of it, now you're keeping your stadium open for a couple more games, and you're still relevant, and you know, and it's kind of like, and I get the other side of it too. People look at it like, well, it's like the NCAA tournament; anybody can win it. Okay, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But that's not baseball.
Yeah,
I mean, no, I think this guy, you know, Manfred, is ruining the game.
I
think, yeah, in my opinion, maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh.
No, I'm not a huge fan of Rob Manfred. I mean, for a guy, and I'll go back to our World Series in 2020, to come out and tell Justin Turner that he's got COVID and he's got to get off the field because he can't go celebrate with his team when he knew that they were going to probably win the game.
That was horrible.
You know, that was horrible. Yeah, and it hasn't been great. And then just the way that they handled the entire, 17 Astros, that was just... I mean, come on, man. Seriously?
Yeah. So. Bring out your garbage cans, everybody. It's time to play the Astros.
Yeah. So, Manfred's not my, favorite commissioner of all time, I can tell you that.
Well,
but the expanded playoffs, it worked out for some teams because you got teams like the Giants who in the past, they were the wild card. They didn't even win the division, and yet they end up winning the whole thing. Washington Nationals got hot in 2019. They were the wild card. They ended up winning the whole thing. And think about this. I don't know if people remember this or not, but in 2019 playoffs, they were one Trent Grisham kickball away from getting eliminated. So, base hit the right field, and then Grisham kicks it, and then Washington wins the game and move on. And, probably maybe one of the best things that happened to Grisham, though, because him kicking that ball sent him to you guys, and I think he's a much better player now with Padres than what he was doing in Milwaukee.
So. He's just got to get his bat going.
Yeah, he will. I'm sure he will. I'm sure as soon as Muncy finds his, I'm sure Grisham will find his too.
So. They can commiserate with each other. All right, one more thing before we go. You guys are hosting the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby this year. Are Dodger fans excited about finally getting one? And in
we're excited that we're getting one, only for the simple fact that we were supposed to have it in 20, which it didn't happen. And then then it would look like, okay, well then we'll get it the next year. We'll get it in 21. And they said, no, it's going to go to Atlanta. And then the politics of Atlanta happened and it ended up going to Colorado. So yeah, we're absolutely happy that we're getting it. They're making an entire weekend out of it. I don't know if you live in the SoCal area, they're making an entire weekend going to the convention center. They're going to do exhibits and signings and that kind of stuff. Not to plug anybody here, I don't want to plug any products, but I did see that if you are a carrier of MasterCard, I guess you can get free tickets to the All-Star exhibits. So if you go to the All-Star Game website and you have a MasterCard, you put in your information on that MasterCard and they give you free tickets. So, so that's pretty cool. I think that's great. I love the fact that they are having it this year because now the renovations on the stadium are done.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that's going to be great. It's going to be fun to see. Let's see how many guys can actually hit it out over the top of the pavilion, out of the stadium. So
when we started, it just came through that Manny Machado has gone on to the next round, and he was pretty high up in the voting for votes. Anybody from the Dodgers that you know of that's going to move forward?
As far as I saw, the only one I saw was Trey Turner. He's the only one that made it on to the next round. I think Mookie was there as well, but he may be – I think he's still on that cut line, I guess you call it. But I know Trey Turner made it on to the next round, which I think that means that Trey Turner is going to be the starting shortstop for right now. But there'll be some guys, I'm sure, with the record that Gonsolin has right now, he'll probably get to go. I would imagine that the sentimental pick will be to have Kershaw go. And a guy that I think probably deserves it, and it's too bad that he's the position is flooded, is Will Smith, our catcher, our young catcher.
Yeah, he does a good job.
He does a great job. I wish he'd get a little better defensively, but offensively he's got a great bat. I remember watching him down here at the minors at Rancho Cucamonga, and he was doing it down there, and And it was just a matter of time. It was a matter of us, honestly, saying goodbye to Grandal. You know, your old, the old Padres catcher, you guys had him, and we had him for a while. Mm-hmm. It was a matter of us just finally saying goodbye to him that gave him his opportunity.
All right. Well, it was good talking with you today. We'll do it again when Absolutely. We come up with
Thank
another Dodgers.
So
thanks for the information about the Dodgers.
Absolutely.
You know, I always tell the listeners, you got to always know your enemy. If you don't know what your enemy's doing, you don't know how to prepare to go against them. So we got a little preparation today.
Michael Corleone says, you keep your friends close, but your enemies closer.
Absolutely. All righty. Good talking with you. And see, wasn't he a nice guy? Once again, we see another Dodger fan that's not a shithead. like I talked with Mr. Mark about earlier in the program, just a regular baseball fan, you know, like Padres fans, who loves his team. And again, I don't think any of you need to get upset or write me or accuse me of being a Dodger lover. You know, like I just said to Mark, you got to know your enemy. You got to know what their weaknesses, their strengths are. And once you know that, then you're ready to play them. Okay, that does it for today. We're going to play another Mr. song for you. Something that's not one of the mainstream ones in the hits they had. This is called Waiting in My Dreams. Now, for you guys, I want you all to take care of yourselves, take care of each other, watch your backs, and keep your heart and your mind open. I'll see you next time.
In the evening, I lie awake alone and watch my thoughts go by. I hear the beating of a heavy heart, no words of wisdom can inspire. Dreams. Oh, when I close my eyes, you're all